You're only seconds away from totally understanding your pet. All right, maybe not, but you will be smarter. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, Judy Walsh, who is the owner of the Shining Star Reindeer Ranch in Iosco Township. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Judy, can I begin by asking you, what really is a reindeer?
A reindeer, in our terms, is a farm animal that we raise for Santa Claus during the Christmas season, but all year round we have reindeer, and it's kind of our Christmas season to be able to be raising the reindeer as an exhibit animal here in the United States, but as an animal that is generally like a cow, cattle type animal for the northern side of the world.
Right. Over in the European area, this is an animal of long history and of commonality, I imagine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was doing a little bit of reading on it, and it sounds like the entire culture surrounds this particular animal, just like maybe the cow did back in the rancher days.
Yes, yes. Typically for the Eurasian countries, like in Mongolia, the Netherlands, there are some areas in Siberia, the reindeer is the only thing that can survive.
Yeah. Yeah, they eat lichens, and I don't know I kind of know what a lichen is, but it doesn't sound very tasty.
I don't know if I'd be liking a lichen there, Rick. Judy, what is a lichen?
A lichen is typically a plant-type fungus that grows on the ground on the plants that are there. They'll grow on the bark. They'll grow on other rooted plants, and that way it can continue to survive in very severe areas.
Right, right. Well, in Michigan, not quite so severe. What do your reindeer survive on?
We have a mixed feed that they actually have a formula from the University of Alaska that typically is tainted a little bit to make it the right minerals for the area that we're in.
Uh-huh.
And it has corn, it has cottonseed hulls, it has molasses to make it a little bit tastier for them. It has a biomineral that keeps them at the right vitamin supplement then.
Right, right. And I would imagine that would be important. They're totally different diet than what would be up in a tundra type situation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But
yes.
They do graze, I assume? I mean, yes. When you put them out, they're eating the regular grasses and such that they can find.
Right. And they like to be out on the pasture. They're wandering around just kind of taking their time finding what they would like to eat, which in Michigan, it's great that they love poison ivy, and they like all those woody-type plants.
Yeah.
So they'll go to a pasture and make it nice golf course green because they'll leave that taller grass that we typically will mow and make into a golf course and eat the broadleaf of the weedy-type things that they find.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, very convenient.
I got a question. Reindeer games. Now, even though we obviously know they're not probably sitting down playing Parcheesi, but I imagine just like puppies have their way of frolicking around and kittens have their own distinct way of playing, talk to us about the behavior that these cow-like animals exhibit and what kind of amuses you as you watch their behaviors. Somebody else doesn't get to explore them on a day-to-day basis. Give us an idea what they're all about.
A twofold question there. What amuses us with them? You can be dressed like Michelin Man out in the Michigan weather, and they're out there frolicking, having a good time, jumping up in the air, doing a whole 360 and running, and they just love the cold weather. And we're standing there freezing. but they're having a good time. With first snow, they just run through the pasture. They jump, they leap, they have a good time. But as a calf at a week old, they already are getting little buttons, and they'll play with your hand, with their head, looking like they're going to really get after you. And together as calves, they'll go head-to-head. And because male and female have antlers, uh-huh. and this will start the antler growth that early, they'll be playing together. They'll be holding their heads together, fighting back and forth, and they're really not fighting, they're just playing. And as they get older, the calves this time of year, they're 7, 8 months old, they're pushing each other back and forth on the pasture, and they've got a significant amount of antler growth. In a year's time, they actually have only 2.5 to 3 months of actual antler growth. And so it is the fastest growing living tissue. And that antler growth, while it's growing, is very sensitive. But once it hardens, they have that velvet to strip off, just like our whitetail here in this area.
Okay.
And they play around with each other, play with trees, and you'll watch them beat up a tree, the little ones anyway, and use that to get the velvet off. And they continue to do that, just rub around on their antlers and play with the plants and the trees and the branches that they can find out there. And if they don't have one, they'll play with each other.
Well, I got a question. This reminds me back when I was young and I was hunting for the first time, and my brother shot a buck, and buck deer, of course. We weren't shooting caribou or reindeer. And we ran down the tree stand that we were on, and I ran right up to it, and my brother grabbed me, pulled me aside, and says, "Rick, that would be very foolish. You could definitely get hurt by that." And forevermore, I kind of see my brother as a guardian angel, I guess. So, and I'm just curious, with such large antlers and an animal that we're not familiar with, what kind of safety issues do you need to have as just the general person walking by? And what do you need to kind of work with when you're dealing with day-to-day operations in this herd?
In our herd, most of the animals are tame enough. We don't have that kind of issue to worry about an antler being used against us. It, by mistake, they'll catch a coat. Just as they turn their head, of course, the antlers follow their head. Mm-hmm. So depending on how wide they are on their head or how tall they are and what you're doing, you just have to duck and look for them. But they're not doing it to actually protect themselves or to be aggressive towards you.
And you don't have any problem with the males when they're in mating season or anything like that?
Well, during rut, you do have that. They want their girls to stay on their side and you stay on the other side.
I was wondering if they'd have at least some opinion on that idea.
And they're very vocal. You'll hear them grunting and letting you know that they're, this is my, to get out, it's my area. But you don't want to trust any animal that is in rut.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be just in rut. Just when the girls are in season, the boys are going to be protected, whether it's a bull, whether it's a stallion, whether it is a reindeer bull. You just want to be very careful that they're not their aggression isn't used negatively towards you. But on the norm, we don't need to have something to protect ourselves. You just have to be aware that their heads are moving and their antlers are coming with them.
Right.
So that, that's a horse, feet move and you've got to watch your toes. These guys aren't that heavy, so you don't have to really worry too much about if they step on your toes unless you got your barefoot. But try not to make sure that happens.
How much room does one, or 14 in your case, reindeer require?
Not very much room, actually, because they're a very efficient eaters, very efficient grazers. They don't need to have a lot of pasture area.
Mm-hmm.
But we have them on about 23-24 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Because we keep ours separated between the younger ones, the bull that we're using with the girls right now. This is the time of year he gets to have his own separate pasture with the girls. The bulls that we have that we're not using that may be sold or what may be used next year are in another pasture. The girls that are too young to be with a bull or that we don't want to have with that particular bull are in another pasture. So we have them spread out a little bit. And each individual animal, we plan at least an acre just because we want them to have the room to roam, graze, stretch, that type of thing. So that's about what we do. But they don't need an awful lot of area. They're not migrating here in Michigan, so we don't need to have that.
Now, Judy, one of the things I thought was interesting in your video that I've seen in a number of newspapers was that you've bottle-fed some of these, which is extraordinary to me because I would just imagine that, again, as Rick was alluding to, there could be a safety issue. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, bottle feeding the reindeer, because they are the only domestic deer, is not like raising white tail or an elk be bottle fed.
Mm-hmm.
You do get a lot more attachment to humans.
I would assume that creates actually safety, you know, because they're bonding to people and they're connecting with people in a way that would otherwise not happen if you weren't bottle feeding them. Or are you only bottle feeding them in a scenario where the mother doesn't have milk?
No, actually I've done both. I've done it at the request of someone that already wanted to have a calf, and we knew that we were going to get rid of a few of them. And I've done it because the mother didn't have milk. I've done it when we lost a mother. So there's been different scenarios where we've had to do it. But the opportunity came up that I actually bottle fed an elk bull and did have to neuter him. And when he was 3 and a half, had to make the decision that he had to leave. It was time for him to go because he was becoming a risk. And I don't see that in reindeer. They're mm-hmm. just right with you like a puppy dog is. In fact, when they drop their antlers, they look very much cowish, and they're just like that. They'll follow you around the pasture, just curious about what you're doing and wanting to be right next to you. So in a way, there's not that threat. It's right. different than having the white tail or the elk doing that.
Well, no wonder Santa Claus is all chummy with reindeer.
And these elves don't have to be afraid to be around them.
Yeah, and that's important when you're a little guy, so I can understand that.
How many people keep reindeer, let's say, in Michigan? Do you have an idea?
An idea? I would say there's probably a lot more than people think, and you're probably sitting, there might be 50, 60, maybe 80. Because there's a lot of people that have had them in the past and have been able to keep them in a hobby situation. But there are a handful of significant breeders and that we're saying that have them and have them so they can sell a few every year. I know of a couple in our area, a couple on the west side, and there's another a few of them in the UP area. So Michigan does have a significant population of them.
Besides assisting Santa Claus, is there other uses and other value to the reindeer and reindeer ranching, if you will?
If you wanted to go large, it is an animal that you could do that fairly easily. If you wanted to have them in a cow-type situation, say you lived in the UP and you had that significant winter, they would be able to survive, and you could use them as you do a cow.
Okay.
So the hunter jerky and that type of thing could be something that you could have. But here in
we won't bring that up at this time of year. The illusion's okay.
Yeah.
We don't want the kids
season,
listening.
We won't.
In.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, we've never taken that option. In fact, I've been able to be a little choosy about the inquiries we have to sell them.
Well,
and ask, are you going to use them for your Santa displays, or how did you get our name, and what were your intentions? And
I would imagine that would be kind of a required, almost signed contract as soon as you and Santa Claus get together, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And on Christmas Eve, of course, Santa wants to make sure we have all the reindeer available.
That's what I figured.
So, yeah.
That's what I figured. You can't be just running around the neighborhood when Santa calls.
Well, and if Mrs. Claus has worth her keep, she'll confirm the appointment for you. So, Judy, last question. We've only got about a minute. Prior to Christmas, where will the reindeer be if people want to come out and actually see them? Will you be doing any kind of public events?
We've done several already. This Saturday, there's a public event that is actually at a church, and I believe it is on 8 Mile on Orchard Lake, and that is on a Saturday afternoon. They have a whole event that's happening at the St. Thomas Church there, and we're going to be there. And I hope that we will be actually down in Ann Arbor. I don't have a confirmation on that, so can't plan that one out loud.
Okay. Well, Judy, we want to thank you for coming on the show today. It's been very interesting. We've been speaking with Judy Walsh, the owner of the Shining Star Reindeer Ranch. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your being with us.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Williamson right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320 WILS.com.